This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky, who writes a weekly column called The Works. Ben's column on February 29th, 2008, is titled We Might Take Your House, and he's here with me today to tell the rest of the story. Well, today we're talking about a new tax increment financing, or TIF, district making its way to city council approval in part of North Lawndale, just southwest of Kedzie and Roosevelt. The city calls the district the Ogden-Pulaski TIF district. Ben, we've talked before about who comes up with the idea to create a particular TIF district in terms of what they're going to use the money for and where to put the boundaries of the district. Let's talk a little about the origin of the Ogden-Pulaski TIF district. In your article, you write that the district's initial boosters were one or more non-governmental organizations that work in the area. Then you go on to quote the head of one of those NGOs as saying that the city's Department of Planning and Development approached him to get the ball rolling on creating a TIF district. So who do you think originally conceived of the Ogden-Pulaski TIF district?
Great question. I say it comes from the Department of Planning. The real question you're asking was there somebody beyond the Department of Planning that got the Department of Planning to step forward? And I don't know the answer to that question. You know, the mysterious developer X.
The developer in the shadows.
There's always some developer in the shadows. I don't know if there was a mysterious developer X in this case. And if there is one, I don't know who that developer X is. What we know is Department of Planning went to several not-for-profits who operate in the North Lawndale area and said, you should put up the money for an eligibility study. Remember, you cannot have a TIF district unless you engage a planner in preparing what they call an eligibility study, which is merely a report that establishes, according to the state criteria, that this area deserves to be TIFed.
So, and a redevelopment plan as well, right?
Yeah, well, the redevelopment plan is essentially a budget of $100 million, and nothing has been stipulated as to what has to be built. They're pretty much free to spend it as they want.
Have you ever seen an eligibility report?
Oh, my God, yes. I read the one for Ogden-Pulaski.
What about the redevelopment plan?
Okay, well, the redevelopment plan is generally part of the eligibility report.
So you've seen the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole package. It's written in some kind of boilerplate that would make no sense to a normal human being.
So that's what leads you to say that there's not any specificity.
No, there's no specificity.
You can't really tell.
Some TIFs are very specific. The well-run TIFs, which is a contradiction in terms now, but are very specific. We are going to raise X amount of money to do the following project. We estimate, we project that it will cost this amount for acquisition, that amount to build, this amount to relocate people. Very specific. And they say, as soon as we have spent the money, as soon as we've completed the project, we will end the TIF with the proceeds that come from the new property taxes flowing. That's a well-run, well-designed, well-managed TIF. We've long ago lost all sight of that, and now what we have are just open-ended slush funds.
Well, let's talk about the Ogden-Pulaski redevelopment plan. Apparently, it has what people are calling a displacement list, which is a list of homes that should go under the wrecking ball to make way for new buildings. If I were a homeowner in a TIF district that had in its redevelopment plan such a list, and my home was on that list, would it help me to look at the redevelopment plan to see the size and the location of proposed projects so I can get a better idea of what is the context in which my home might be taken and what would be the signs that this plan was actually moving forward as the TIF progressed?
Okay, well, if you were to try to do what you just said, you wouldn't be able to do it with this particular TIF because, again, there are no specific plans. It's just this general goal of redeveloping North Lawndale.
But presumably, if somebody came up with a list of homes to be displaced, that came about because they had an idea of where they wanted to build new stuff.
Well, that is the interesting question. Why are these homes on a list of potential acquisition? Again, they always say it's potential acquisition or potential displacement. In other words, you have the fear of eminent domain hanging over you. It may or may not happen, as opposed to something very specific that you're describing, which is we want to take your property because we want to tear down your building and put in X, Y, or Z.
But that's my point. Someone had to know what that X, Y, Z was to even put homes on the displacement list. They must have some idea.
But they haven't played that card yet.
It's in somebody's head, and that caused them to put the homes in the redevelopment plan, but they wouldn't put what the project was.
You're basically saying how I closed my story. which was, if City of Chicago, you have a plan, put it on the table. If you don't have a plan, take these houses and these properties off the acquisition list. There's no reason to use the threat of eminent domain unless you have a specific plan. You shouldn't be able to have it two ways. You shouldn't be able to say to people who live in this, this is where they live, we may take your property, but we may not. I find that really sneaky.
Yeah, well, one of the ways that it seems to me then, if TIFs were not going to go away, but if they were going to be reformed, one reform would be to have better enforced standard of specificity in the redevelopment plan. Because now it sounds like it can be any level of specificity.
There is no specificity. So,
but you say in some, there might be that specificity.
Well,
you've seen it.
I've seen the earlier TIFs. I think that's a key point you make. If you're going to have reform, as opposed to just abolishing this thing, then it should be very specific goals. And this is why we have this TIF. And this is what we intend to do with the money. And this is when we intend to end this TIF, as opposed to these open-ended slush funds, which is all they are.
I wonder if you can shed any light on the position of the 24th Ward Alderman, Sharon Dixon, in whose ward most of the Ogden-Pulaski TIF district lies. First, let's listen to a statement by Commissioner Ann Costner of the Community Development Commission, essentially scolding Alderman Dixon in how she's handled community opposition.
Okay, now you've got hundreds of angry people here. At least you would have had maybe 10 or 20 people on a committee that you could have brought here and said, listen, there's a few things we still have to work out, but these are the people that understand that they're communicating also with everyone in their neighborhood. So basically, why not communicate? One mandatory meeting. That is ridiculous. I mean, I think it's a big deal. I think you should have had more meetings. I think you should have had meetings until most of the people understood and most of the people were not so angry at us. That's given an opportunity.
It seemed to me that Commissioner Costner aimed her remarks at Alderman Dixon because it was Dixon's constituents that were such vocal opponents to the TIF district at the CDC meeting. But Alderman Dixon did not respond to the commissioner. Instead, Alderman Munoz, who sat next to Dixon, decided to speak up. Munoz blasted residents who he said would oppose any plan, and he even used the word hater to describe a typical resident who opposed the TIF district. What do you think of Alderman Dixon's lack of response to the commissioner's criticism?
I think that Munoz took the lead because he was afraid that Dixon would just go off. You have to understand there's a very contentious fight going on, local fight. One of the leaders of the group of residents who were opposing the plan ran or tried to run against Dixon for committeeman in the last election. So there's no love lost between some of the players, and it gets very personal.
Who ran against Dixon for committeeman?
Joanne Bradley.
Do you think that Commissioner Costner had a legitimate point?
Absolutely. You know, it's ridiculous that at this late stage in the process where the city is moving forward to adopt this, there's still such uncertainty as to what in the world they're going to do with it. That's the key weakness among many of TIF deals. They don't have to confront the issue of whether this is legitimate use of tax dollars.
I guess the next step for this particular TIF district is approval by the City Council Finance Committee.
Correct.
Which is coming up within a couple of weeks, I think,
mm-hmm.
on March 12th. So we'll keep monitoring this one and see if it makes its way through completions like the rest of them.
Excellent.
This is Dave Gloetz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.